Well, I want to also thank Gord and Pastor Bonnie for bringing the messages over the last 2 weeks as we have been working through our sermon series, Living Hope, based off the book of 1 Peter. And today I want to continue on in that sermon series, and I've entitled my message, Living in the Hope of God's Blessing. Living in the Hope of God's Blessing. So if you want to take your Bible and turn over to 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 through 12 are our text this morning. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 through 12. Finally, all of you, live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic, love as brothers, be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. For whoever would love life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from deceitful speech. He must turn from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. May God bless the reading of his word here in our service this morning. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, thank you, God, for your word to us today. I pray now, Lord, that you would help us to focus in on these important words from 1 Peter. Lord, I pray that you would fill us with a renewed sense of hope and a better understanding of what it means to live in your blessing, God. So, God, thank you so much that we can open up your word together, and I ask for your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, making it through allergy season this year is proving to be extra challenging. Instead of receiving a customary God bless you or bless you from some polite person when you sneeze, people now they'll likely glare at you suspiciously and tell you to put on a mask and go home. Now you may be wondering, who has the most powerful sneeze on the church staff? Maybe you're wondering that. Well, I would have to say it's Pastor Ben who takes top honors in this category. I think he may be a three-sneeze man. Personally, I'm a two-sneeze man. Well, the most popular theory on how this practice of God bless you started is probably the one that originated in Rome during the end of the 6th century AD when the plague was ravaging Europe, and sneezing was one of the plague's main symptoms, and it was believed that Pope Gregory I suggested that a tiny prayer in the form of saying, God bless you, after a sneeze would protect the person from death. Another more superstitious theory is that it stems from the ancient belief that a sneeze might accidentally expel the spirit from the body unless God blessed you and prevented it. Other cultures thought that sneezing would force evil spirits out of the person, out of the body, leaving others exposed to these wandering spirits, and a blessing was to protect both the sneezer and those around him. And then there is the rumor that our heart stops when we sneeze, and that saying, bless you, is a way of welcoming the sneezer back from death. So while most of us aren't going to take too seriously these stories about receiving a blessing after sneezing, we do need to consider seriously, what does it mean to receive God's blessing and to live in the hope of God's blessing? Well, the Bible teaches us that many of God's blessings are administered to all human beings in a general way. Jesus said that our Heavenly Father causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good, and he sends rain down on the righteous and the unrighteous. God's blessing to people flows out of his grace and his goodness. The Lord is good, and his love endures forever. But there's more to God's blessing and the way that God administers his blessing to his people than just this good heavenly Father in heaven out with his pepper grinder of blessings, just sprinkling them around the earth. No, there's a special way that God blesses his people as well. And it's important for us to understand that God blesses his people and that we need to learn to live in the hope of that blessing. So in Genesis 12, if you want to take your Bibles over or take your Bibles and turn over to Genesis 12, verses 1 through 3, we have the story of Abram or Abraham and a very special blessing that God placed on his life. Genesis 12, verses 1 through 3. The Lord had said to Abram, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. And I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on the earth will be blessed through you." God blessed Abraham as a means of restoring God's goodness and blessing to a fallen world that was cursed with sin. He also promised Abraham an inheritance of land in the future that would serve as a home for the offspring of God's that God had promised to both Abraham and Sarah, but also for Abraham's seed and lineage, which would eventually give birth to the Messiah, Jesus of Nazareth, who would be God's ultimate blessing and remedy to overcome this curse of sin. You see, Abraham and all the prophets of the Old Testament never saw the complete fulfillment of God's eventual promise. It's the blessing to which Abraham and every other Old Testament saint, they eagerly awaited. They were anticipating this greater blessing from God. For they understood that this everlasting blessing of Abraham transcended the physical promised land and the temporal benefits of health and wealth. Rather, the blessing was to be found in a spiritual city, a better country than the land of Canaan. It was an eternal blessing. It was a heavenly city, a city which God would prepare and a place where God would dwell. This new Jerusalem, which Jesus called my Father's house, which we became heirs of this eternal city through Christ and his new covenant, through Jesus and his gospel. The coming of God's kingdom was initiated, and the greater blessing of God became more spiritual and eternal in nature. It moved from being temporal and material to spiritual and eternal, even though God still blesses his people with their material needs as we pray in the Lord's Prayer. Give us today our daily bread. But unfortunately, many Christians today hold the same basic errors that the Jews of Jesus' day did. They think of God's blessing primarily in the terms of that which is physical or material. Many believers still think that all we need to do is just pray to the Lord and ask God for his material blessings and do that in faith, and my cup will just overflow with material blessings. And all too much like Job's friends, they and we often equate trials and sufferings with sin. And we see it as a curse, these trials and sufferings, rather than a possible blessing in disguise. You see, in this present age, the blessings of God do not always come apart from suffering or are inconsistent with trials. Frequently, it is in the difficult times that we experience the blessing of Christ's presence in a far more profound way than we would ever have if we were just being showered with material blessings. I talked to a brother this week who had just lost his job, but he is trusting God. He's drawing near to God to see how God will provide for him and meet his daily needs. The blessings of eternal life and the forgiveness of our sins came at the expense of Christ's suffering. At Christ's suffering. He became poor, the Bible says, so that we could become rich. Jesus said, "Whoever is thirsty, let them come to me and drink." For the scriptures declare that this fount, this river of living water shall flow out of the innermost being of anyone who believes in me. God's ultimate remedy and blessing for the curse of sin is not temporal material goods, but rather new life in Christ, whereby we become filled with the presence of the Holy Spirit and we inherit the free gift of eternal life. I remember when I was a high school student, I first became a Christian at Emile Desert, and I put these posters up on Friday mornings at the place where I hung out, and I always put TGIF, thank God it's Friday, and I wrote out that verse about let all those who come to me, all those who are thirsty, come to me and drink. And people were wondering, what does this mean, my friends? And I said, it means that when we become born again, God blesses us with the Holy Spirit, and he's like a river of life flowing out of us. And that is a blessing that comes from God alone. And it's a spiritual blessing. Now, God is faithful, and some of his blessings, both material and spiritual, are given to us as a result of living upright lives. When we walk in God's ways, we are spared often from the heartbreak of the folly of sin. When I had that life change, when I was 18 years old, God spared me from a lot of destructive things that would have crippled my life, and perhaps I wouldn't even be here to this day if it wasn't for God's grace in my life. There's a blessing that comes to an individual when we live uprightly, when we walk in the ways of our Savior. We are spared from the heartbreak and the folly of sin. However, by no means does this mean that we will be spared from difficult challenges in this life. So in our passage today, Peter gives us three scriptural principles to help us to learn to live in the hope of God's blessing. Well, the first one is being a blessing in the church. Peter says, "Finally, all of you, live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic, love as brothers, be compassionate and humble." Well, when I was a kid, my dad bought a Heathkit stereo receiver. Maybe some of the older individuals in our church remember a Heathkit stereo receiver. And I remember watching him carefully following the do-it-yourself schematics, and he was putting this component in and the other component. And then once he completed the assembly, he wired in the turntable and the cassette player. We didn't have DVD players back then and CD players, but wired that all in, and then he ran the speaker wires, plugged it in, and voila! Stereophonic sound. And we used that stereo system for many years. Well, Peter lists these components that need to be functioning in our inner life if we want to receive and transmit the blessings of God in our personal life, in our church, and even in the world. He says we are to live in harmony with one another, referring to our brothers and sisters in Christ. We're to live in harmony with one another and to be sympathetic. Love as brothers. Be compassionate and humble. If these components are present in our personal life and our church life, then the power and the blessing of the Holy Spirit are going to be amplified in our lives. However, if we are impatient, if we are inconsiderate and rude with one another, then the harmonious sound of the gospel lived out and proclaimed will not be transmitted from our lives and from our church, and the world around us that is hostile to the gospel, they will be hearing the incongruency, the static of our lives and message rather than the beautiful melody of the gospel. Well, another way that we are to live in our hope in this world is by being a blessing in the world. We'll be a blessing in the church, but we're also to be a blessing in the world. Peter says, do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing. With blessing, because to this you were called so that you may inherit a blessing. Just think of Abraham's life and that covenant of blessing that has been passed on to us through Christ's new covenant. God has called us so that we may inherit a blessing and be a blessing in this world. And so it's so easy to return evil for evil, isn't it? When we feel slighted, we think to ourselves, nobody's going to treat me like this. I'm not your doormat. And if you shake your finger in my face, well, I'm going to shake my fist in yours. Yet this is not the way of the one who hung on a cross and endured the insults and the slander of his executioners. Instead of condemning them, Jesus said, oh, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. Whether it's our relation with the world or our brothers and sisters in Christ, if those inner components of our life, those spiritual gifts that the Holy Spirit deposits in our lives, the fruit of the Spirit which the Holy Spirit cultivates in our lives, if they're in poor working order, then the transmissions, the responses of our life in our day-to-day living out of our hope is not going to be a blessing to others. They'll be full of evil and slander rather than blessing. When we are attacked or accused unfairly, what is the response of our lives? Is it godly or is it ungodly? What's going on in the schema of your life? Are you being filled with the Spirit so that when something hits your life and it reverberates through the inner workings of your life, what is the response of your life? Is it one of a Spirit-led response, or is it just coming out of your flesh? Because after all, you haven't been working on the things of your inner life. You've been neglecting them. Instead of receiving God's teachings and transmissions into your life, you've been receiving things of the world, and the parts, the inner working of your life are not in sync with the Spirit. God wants us to return blessings when cursed, not more curses. Well, how quickly we are to judge and just slander. It comes out of our mouths and condemn others. Remember, the prime minister or the premier, because politicians seem to be open season these days, the prime minister and the premier are not the Lord of your life. Jesus Christ is, and he is sovereign over all situations, and he causes all things to work together for the good, for your favor, as was sung during our offertory, i.e., he brings his blessings. He causes all things to work together for the good of those who love him and who are called according to his purposes. And one of those purposes is to be a blessing in this world. Folks, this world is not our home. It is not our hope. So we need to abstain from these sinful urges and desires that war against our souls. We need to live in the self-control of the Holy Spirit. And the third thing that Peter shares with us in this passage is that we need to be living in the blessing of God's presence. So we're being a blessing in the church, we're being a blessing in the world, and we just learn this daily practice of walking and living in the blessing of God's presence. 2 weeks ago, Gord taught us from 1 Peter 2:12. And that passage says, "Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he returns." And in this passage, Peter teaches believers that we need to learn how to absorb injustices for the sake of the gospel by not returning evil with evil. God has put in place the state and so that they can punish those who need punishing. They can do good to those who do good. But so God is not letting people off the hook. And ultimately God says, "Vengeance is mine, says the Lord." And yes, we need to speak the truth and speak it in love and not to just receive these things from people and not speak truth in a loving and in an assertive way back to them. So you could, you know, quote the old line, you know, "I thought I better tell you just in case you thought I didn't care," because I do care and this is important to me. And so you share the truth in love. But Peter teaches believers that we need to learn how to absorb injustices as well for the sake of the gospel by not returning evil with evil. As I shared at the onset, God has always intended that his people be part of his blessing, not part of the curse. The foundation of our blessings is the inheritance of eternal life through the Holy Spirit, whom we've received freely by grace through faith, not by works, lest any one of us should just boast about how great we are and how we worked our way into heaven. And we didn't need to trust in Jesus. We didn't need his atonement on the cross. We worked our way into heaven. That's not the way it works, folks. We all fall short if we think that we could get to heaven without God, without Christ. So when we live in step with the Spirit of God, we receive both spiritual and material blessings as God directs, as God orchestrates. We receive both material blessings and spiritual blessings. However, God will not be mocked, and a person will reap what they sow. If they sow to the Spirit, the scriptures say they will reap the blessings of the fruit of the Spirit. But if they sow to the flesh, then they may reap some worldly blessings when they do that. But in the end, if they don't repent, they're still under that curse. And they'll be under that curse for eternity for rejecting Christ. Peter picks up on this biblical truth by quoting part of Psalm 34, where he says, "For whoever would love life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from deceitful speech. He must turn from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it, for the eyes of the Lord, for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ear is attentive to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil." 1 Peter 3:10-12. God is all-knowing, and he is ever-present. He cannot be fooled or cajoled. Yet for all of us who desire to do right, And I hope you do desire to do right and that you long for a good life. Then we must guard our words and turn from evil and do good and seek peace and pursue it. For God strongly supports his children, and his eyes and his ears are attentive to their life and prayers. He wants to support us in the calling that we have in Christ. Yet to those who choose evil, and I hope that you don't. I hope that you don't choose evil. But to those who do, you may enjoy some temporal trappings and privileges of this world, but in the end, as I just said earlier, there will be no atonement for your sins. And you will stand before a holy God, and you will need to give an account for every evil action, every evil thought, and every word that came from your mouth. In Proverbs 10:22, we have this fascinating passage, and I think it's one of the key passages in the scriptures about understanding God's blessings. In Proverbs 10:22, we read, "It is the blessings of the Lord that makes us rich, and he adds no trouble to it." See, the material and the temporal blessings of this world, they're fleeting, and eventually they'll fade away. And you know what? They can bring us all kinds of trouble due to people's selfishness, ungratefulness, abuse. But the greatest and richest blessing of God is the one which removed the curse of Adam and Eve's fall in Eden. And that freedom that we have and that inheritance that we have because of Christ, this is the greatest blessing that we can receive, because we're filled with the Holy Spirit. We are living in the presence of God. And that is something we should be extremely, extremely grateful for. You see, like the saints of old, we too must realize that we need to wait for the blessing of Christ's presence to be fully realized. When we enter that new Jerusalem, the city that Abraham longed for, where the eternal blessings of God will shine just continuously from the throne of Jesus, and all things will be made new. We will truly be rich. We'll truly be rich and without the troubles of sorrow and suffering and injustice. The curse of death and sin will be vanquished. It'll be broken. It'll be swallowed up by the blessing of life in Christ. This is our hope, folks. This is our destination. This is what it means to live in the hope of God's blessing. Well, for application, I encourage you to ask God to bless your life so that you may be a receiver and a transmitter of his blessings. And first of all, as Peter shared with us, live in harmony with one another. Live in harmony with one another for as brothers and sisters in Christ. Remember, we don't always have to be right. And when it's necessary to speak the truth to someone, and that's important, that's part of loving people, being willing to speak the truth, not just being uncaring. And sometimes it's when we speak that last 10% of truth in a loving way into somebody's life, that's when the blessing comes, that's when traction takes hold, that's where repentance happens. But we need to live in harmony with one another. And secondly, we need to be sympathetic. We need to be willing to try and understand what it's like to walk in another's shoes, to be empathetic, to empathize with one another. We also need to love as brothers and sisters, love as Christ loved. Jesus said that's our greatest witness, that the world will see that we love one another, and they know that we are Christ's disciples because we do so. And lastly, be compassionate. Be compassionate and humble, just like Christ was. And, you know, a cold and calculated response, it doesn't bring the blessings of God. It brings curses upon another. And we want to bring the blessings of Christ and his kingdom into this church, into our families, our own lives, and certainly into the world. Folks, this is what it means to live in the hope of God's blessing. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you for this challenge, this reminder from Peter, God, to be people who pursue peace, people who want to be a blessing to one another, and Lord, in this dark world, that we may shine like the stars, God, that we may bring godly direction and blessing to a lost world, God. So Lord, make Still Heights, God, a place of light, a place of hope, God, a place of blessing. For the glory of your name, Jesus, we pray these things. Amen.
Come thou fount of every blessing, to my heart peace and thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me song, melodious song, sung by flaming tongues above. Fixed upon a mount of thy redeeming love. Here I raise my Ebenezer, hither by thy help I come, and I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Jesus saw me with a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to rescue me from danger interposed his precious blood. How great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy grace, Lord, like a feather, burn my wandering heart to me. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, Lord, take and seal it. Feel it for thy courts above. Here's my heart, Lord, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above.
Oh, the blessing of the Holy Spirit, that wellspring of life within us, that fount of blessing. May the Lord bless you this week, Still Heights, and I want to encourage you to circle May 26, Tuesday, 7 p.m. on your calendar, and check out my update this Friday for more information about our online AGM Vision Night. We really want to encourage you, whether you're a member or not at Still Heights, I want to encourage you to participate in this important meeting. Well, may I leave you with this blessing from Numbers chapter 6. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Go in his peace and his blessing, Still Heights. God bless you.